The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Well, you know what? It's time to go drag racing! 200 plus miles per hour!
Hi, welcome back to Real Racing USA.
Hey,
live.
How are we doing? Good, how are you?
I'm ready to go. I'll tell you what.
Hey, guys, we're doing drag racing. Steve.
Yes, sir.
Who do you have with you there?
Yeah, Will Simplot on the phone. Man, who is currently number two in the nation in the points chase for the Cresto Pro Drag. And, coming off an absolutely awesome weekend that he had. Up in Salem, Harley-Davidson, Northern National. Tell us just a little bit about your race that you just finished up there, Will.
Well, we just got done racing up there in Portland, and we went out there the first round. We spun a belt, so we didn't run very good there, but we went back and we realized that we hurt the motor. We had to change motors between the first and second round. We got that done, made it for the second round, and laid down a 752, which qualified us number two, and everything was working great. We're having problems dropping a cylinder at the end of the track, but everything worked out great. I mean, every time we went out there, we went faster and better.
So. You know, one thing I kind of get a kick out of when I listen to a racer talk, and if you listen to what Will just said. They kicked the belt off, but it's okay. Things are fine. We had to change a motor. It's okay. We're doing fine. We just took out a cylinder. But it's okay. We're going faster. It's just incredible, the positive, attitude that these drag racers have. And incredible. So you had to change a motor. You had a cylinder go out. You kicked the belt off, and you ended up going 752.
Yeah, 752 on the first pass of a brand new untried motor.
Wow.
So we're pretty happy with that.
I would say so. And curiosity now, you've gotten up to number two in the points nationally. You're currently number one. You're leading in the Western Division. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, we're kicking butt in the West.
So how are we looking now for the rest of the season? Do you, anybody that's really got you somewhat concerned, or do you think you're pretty well falling into a good chance of taking that Western Division?
Well, you know, it's like... anything can happen out there drag racing. So, you know, we're going to go out there and we're going to hit the last two races. We talked about going back east two more times, and we just don't have the resources right now to do that. But if I don't mess up like I did in Bristol and then Sturgis, where I red lit, and we should be okay.
Will you be able to make at least one of the races back east?
You know, I've talked to my crew chief, and it's like we just don't have the time or the resources. We'd like to, because Rick Moore is like 223 points ahead of me, and I'd like to narrow that a little bit more. And we did the math, and you know, there's just no way to beat him. I mean, he'd have to go out in the first round for the next four races, and we'd have to win him for the next four races for us to catch him.
You'd have to have him first round at each race, then, huh?
Yeah, he'd have to, and Rick Moore is a good racer, and he's got Bonmar backing him, and he's not going out in the first round. He's going to be in the final round every time, probably.
So, well, let me ask you, how long have you been doing this now?
This is our seventh year racing motorcycles. It's my third year on the pro bike, and we struggled for the first 2 years. Pretty, you know, we struggled. We'd blow a motor up every race, we'd ruin a motor, and we finally hooked up with Carl Pelletier, Competition Cycle, mm-hmm. And he set us right on how to tune them, and then he started building our motors for us, and we got a bike that rocks now. So, I mean, we're always number one or number two qualifier, you know, number three sometimes, but usually not. So,
well, let me ask you this: are you involved in motorcycles when you're away from the track?
I used to own a bike shop here in Boise, Idaho, and you just there was just too much competition, and we finally shut it down. And before that, I was a truck driver. I had a little truck driving outfit and stuff. And I broke my neck in 2003 in six places. And that's when I went pro, because I was racing ET or racing Super Gas, and I couldn't look back anymore because my neck won't turn that far. So the next step was to go pro and not look back anymore.
You got to love that. If you guys listen to that, once again, the positive attitude. Yeah, I thought I would step up the pace a little bit. I broke my neck. So I thought, now it's time to go pro.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Unbelievable.
Going pro, yeah, it's like all you have to do is just get out there and do your job, just whack that throttle and hang on, make your bike go straight, and you never have to look back, you know? It's like if the guy's beating you, he's in front of you. So,
you know, Jack and I, we had talked earlier in the day, and we were talking about the determination, the will, and the things that the Harley guys endure and still continue to race.
It's unbelievable.
Some of the injuries and damages and stuff. Well, here's another one for the record books, boy. Here's a guy breaks his neck and turns around and says, now it's time to step up the pace.
You know, if you go do that racing out there, you're going to break your neck. Yeah, so what?
Yeah, well, I think the safest place to be is on the racetrack myself.
If I break my neck, I'm going pro.
No, we were talking about that, Will. Seriously, I brought that up to Stevie. I mean, we've been doing interviews for, you know, I've been interviewing motorsports people for 10 years, and my partner here, Rick Angies, as well, and we've been doing this for 10 years, man, interviewed thousands of racing people, race car drivers, motorcycle riders. But I'll tell you, the all Harley guys, I have a whole new, I mean, you guys are on a whole different plane than anything. You know, we started doing this a few months ago. It's been an education for me, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of great guys in the organization. I could name them all day long.
You know, he's right on that, too. What Will just said is my short time that I've had the wonderful opportunity to be involved with the Harleys, I haven't met the first guy yet that just wasn't great, didn't treat me great. And I mean, just they're really, really good people. It's like a little... I don't explain it. No one really realizes that there's just wild racing going on out there, and 14 times a year they get together all over the country. And if you haven't been to see one of these, you really missed out on something. Now, I know in the Circle Track, which is very big, especially in the South here, there is some great racing. But I don't think there's too many guys that say, you know, well, I broke my neck, so I think now I need to really go to the late models and really go fast now. It's just incredible, and you're not alone. You're devoted, and it's one of the things the Harley guys, they eat, sleep, and breathe Harley, and you are a great representative of it, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we try hard. I mean, we don't go out there to be number two, because that sucks. We go out there to win. Every time we go out there, we try our damnedest, and I got a really good crew. David St. Clair, he's my tuner, and he's my crew chief, and he's my good buddy. And I got my son doing it this year, which has really got me pretty proud. He's running my old Super Gas bike.
Well, how old's your son now?
He's 24.
24.
Yeah, he was. You know, and he's got a number one qualifier under his belt this year so far. He just started doing it, and I've been really enjoying the hell out of that. That's been a blast.
We know they say the young blood faster reaction times. They're quicker, they're stronger, better trained, and they've learned. From experience, how to improve and how to step up.
Yeah, he watches me screw up, so hopefully he won't repeat.
But, you are his training film, huh?
Yeah, he's itching. He's already itching to get on that pro dragster. It's like we'll give him another year in the lower rank before we bring him up onto the bike.
Well, let me ask you, before you take him to the pros, Will, he doesn't have to break his neck now, does he?
No, he doesn't. I prefer he doesn't. It's like, yeah, the neck thing's not a good thing.
How did that happen, by the way?
Oh, I was out messing around in an old 66 Fastback Mustang, and I punched it, and a telephone pole jumped out in front of me.
He didn't break his neck on a motorcycle.
Cars are dangerous.
Figures it took a car to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in fact, you can ask any biker, when the accident's about to happen, it's because some guy in a car didn't see him.
Got that right.
No doubt.
And that's a true statement, boy. I have visited the ditch myself a few times you know, because and somebody looked at me and watched me go to it.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta ride defensively, that's for sure. And then they call it what do they call it? Aggressive driving. Well, that's the way it is on motorcycles.
Well, let me ask you, what are we looking for down the road for next year? Are we gonna stay with the pros? Are you gonna spend more time working with your boy? What's your future?
We're gonna do it again next year. It's like we tried to go pro fuel this last winter, and I just didn't quite make it, you know, bunny wise. And we're still shooting to move up. You know, it's either pro fuel or top fuel, and it's just a matter of getting the right sponsors on board and giving them what they want, so they give us what we want, which is money.
And, you got to have those parts and pieces, and it takes a lot of money to put.
Oh yeah,
together.
You know, Pro Dragster is probably one of the more affordable nitro. Well, it is the most affordable nitro class, and if you do it right, I just got done delivering my motor back to Carl Pelletier Competition Motorcycles, and I counted up the passes, and we had 48 passes on that motor before something went wrong on it. The only reason it broke is because I was too greedy and I wouldn't get out of the throttle in that first pass of qualifying.
There's a reason why the tachometer reads a certain number and a little red light comes on when it's time to shift.
Yeah, well, we don't have little red lights on our bikes. Just to hear.
Are you allowed to run a shift light?
Yeah, no shift light. We don't have a transmission. It's a jack shaft bike. It's high gear only.
Just high gear only then?
Yeah, so we just whack it and hang on. Try to make it go straight.
I thought you were shifting it, thankfully. So you're just on it and just stand on it and hang on tight.
Yeah, all right.
I tell you, that's how those little Pro Dragsters work, this slipper locker clutch.
Okay.
And, you know, if you get your clutch set up right, we bought our clutch for the first 2 years. We finally went to a Heidner hat, and that made all the difference in the world. It was just simple and easy to use. And I started laying down, bitching 60-foot times. And, you know, even though I'm losing a cylinder, I've been losing a cylinder for a lot of races. It's my 60-foot to my 8th miles that have won me the races.
Well, let me ask you, when you talk about losing a cylinder, is that because the plug's going away, or what usually causes just a single cylinder to go away?
Well, it's
too lean, too rich?
Yeah, well, it's going rich on us, but what happens on nitro motors, it's like we go out there, and it's under a big load as you take off, but as this bike goes down the track, it kind of lays down, and you lose the load on the motor, so it'll cause either front or rear cylinder to go rich on you, and it blows the spark out, basically, so you're just dragging a cylinder behind you with you while you're going on the track, and it really slows you down.
Hey, Will.
Yes.
You know who we're going to interview next?
Sonny Barrett.
There you go.
You tell him hi for me.
Okay.
You know, he has plans to go by you, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, he might be able to get past me in the nation points because he's going to go to the next few races, but he sure is going to have a hard time getting me past me in the West Coast.
I have a feeling you'll be waiting for him in the lane.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there.
Okay. Well, listen, guys, thank you for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Will.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. You guys have a good night.
All right.
Take care. Thanks again.
All right.
All right. Stevie, I tell you what, man. It continues to amaze. And I guess what we're going to do here is
you
take.
You break your neck, you step up the pace.
There you go. Just
wild.
It's beyond. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll come back with. Sonny Burris.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
The O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane. Only on Real Racing USA. Meet the racers of America's most exciting short track racing series every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. From the Milwaukee Mile to Bristol Motor Speedway, Five Flags in Nashville, the ASA is the racing series where young talent meets wily veterans in extreme short track competition. O'Reilly is America's auto parts store, and the ASA is America's premier late model series. O'Reilly Auto Parts ASA Fast Lane gets you close to the action and behind the scenes with the real stories from the drivers themselves. The O'Reilly ASA Fast Lane, only on Real Racing USA. When purchasing a technical product like brakes, there is no substitute for quality and experience. In the performance industry, no one has more experience than the brakeman. The Brakeman has been designing high-performance solutions for a variety of applications for almost 40 years. The current products from the Brakeman are among the most advanced on the market. The Tornado calipers are the only calipers in the performance industry to carry a U.S. patent number and their new line of pads and rotors. The Brakeman Super Brakes are solving brake problems on hard-use vehicles, from police cars to ambulances and a variety of fleet vehicles. So if you're towing a trailer, carrying heavy loads, or just plain want to extend the life and stopping power of your vehicle, it's time to call the Brakeman on the web at thebrakeman.com.
All right, we're back. Real Racing USA live on Tuesday night. And let me crank things up over here. And I believe Stevie LeTemp has Sonny Burris hooked up, another pro drag rider.
Absolutely. Sonny Burris, who I don't know if it can happen, but Will Stimpot just said that it's not going to happen. He's not going to let you buy on points out there on the West Coast. But you're coming back east for a couple races, are you not?
Yes, I am. I'm coming back to Richmond and Rockingham both.
And how do we stand in the points chase there now? I believe you're currently number four nationally.
Right. And I'm...
Is the door open?
I think I can get into second place, but catching Rick Moore is going to be... he's going to have some problems somewhere for us to get him. I mean, if he keeps, keeps pace, even if I was to win every race and he went to the... into the semis, even I can't get by him in points.
So he's got to be knocked off first round.
Yeah, he's that, or something happened. He don't qualify, or something like that. You know, and I'm not wishing any bad luck on him, but you know how that goes.
I understand. Well, listen, you guys, you and Will did have a knockdown drag out here at the last race. Tell us what happened. You ended up, unfortunately, number two on that one.
Well, I actually don't feel it was unfortunately. We had a heck of a weekend. We went out in first round of qualifying. I just went out and blistered the racetrack and set fast time. And then Will had a motor problem, and he put his other motor in, or engine in, and it ran a lot better than his other motor. And he started coming to me, you know. And when we went to the finals, I knew that he was going to throw something at me, so I threw a bunch at him, and it was probably the closest race I ever been in, because he got me right at the end. I was skidding the front tire. I turned the wheel in to, because the bike was going right, and I turned the wheel in, and when it came down, it just was skidding down the racetrack so bad that the people down at that end said there was smoke coming off the front tire. And it was,
so wait a minute. Now, what you're telling me is that we got to the other end of the drag strip on one wheel, and then you decided that you had a counter steer it. So you set it down, and you're smoking the front tire trying to get this thing centered.
Right. And when it was skidding the tire, it just scrubbed off enough speed that it let him drive up alongside of me. And we went across the line, and you absolutely couldn't tell who won. And we got down to the other end, and he goes, "Who won? Who won?" And I said, "Who cares? That was a heck of a race, you know." And I got to congratulate him. He stepped up, you know. And we both ran faster in the finals than I qualified on Saturday. So that meant that we went after each other. You know?
Well, good side-by-side racing action.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to change the topic just a little bit. I want to ask you what's coming up at the next race that nobody out there really knows yet.
Well, I don't know whether, you know, there's a few people know. We purchased a Top Fuel bike. And I'm going to ride it and the pro drag bike at the last four races. I'm going to ride at Richmond, Rockingham, Pomona, and Las Vegas, and plus my pro drag bike.
And it's Joyce Sternati's bike, because, you know, he went and rode for Ray Price, and he had it for sale, and it was real reasonable. The whole deal was such a good deal that we couldn't pass it up. So we bought the bike, and we have DJ tuning it. And pretty much the deal we made with them that I will probably haul the bike, but when it gets to the races, all I want to do is sit on it and ride it, because I still am trying to, you know, get my pro drag bike. I want to get up at least in second in points, you know, so that's my primary deal. So DJ, he's going to tune it and take care of it and everything for us. And I think I have the best race program ever going into Top Fuel. I mean, it's just kind of a dream come true for me.
So. Well, it's got to be exciting, but it's also a major step. Have you ever rode Top Fuel before?
Never. Well, it's just like I told you in St. Louis, you know, what, in June? I've never rode a drag bike in my life. You know,
yeah. It just blows me away. I have to. You have never had a broken neck or anything, now, have you?
No.
Any broken bones at all?
I broke my wrist.
Oh, I don't think that even qualifies.
You still
have to pay dues yet.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that. I got a real bad concussion in Imperial Noise at TT Nationals once, and then I got in a wreck here at Sidewinders in Portland. A guy ran into me and ran me out through the fence and ruptured my spleen, and then I had a broken wrist. That's the only major things I've had in all of my 25 years of dirt track racing, and I probably rode close to 80 races a year.
Wow.
And I traveled all over the United States, and I probably rode 90% of the dirt tracks in the United States.
So you were really big into dirt track racing then before
Oh, yeah. You
jumped into the drags. Now, see, I didn't know that. Tell us just a little bit about your dirt track history.
Well, I just got involved in it with some friends of mine, you know, and we'd go out and ride on the weekends and stuff, and it was just a natural for me. I mean, I was very fortunate that I came along at the right time when a privateer could beat the factory guys, you know,
mm-hmm.
And there was some people here in town that like Blackie Blackburn and Keith Randall that were Indy type car guys, and they taught me how to build engines and stuff like that, you know. And the one thing that was really easy for me, and it just came along with the deal, and I was very fortunate that I really, really understood chassis. You know, I mean, I knew what a chassis needed, and I knew what I wanted it to do, and I could change it and make it work. And so I understood a chassis. I have in my mental mind, I have what they call a three-lap or a three-race rule. If you haven't figured it out in three laps or three races, then do something else, you know. And I was always able to do that, you know. And when I was dirt tracking, on a dirt track, they will say a half mile or a mile or something. The racetrack track subtly changes about every three laps. And so you have to be on top of that all the time. You have to see what it's doing and readjust your bike, you know. And where we have the luxury over a car driver is I weigh 180 pounds, so I was 180 pounds of chassis adjustment. I could move forward, back, whatever I wanted to do to make the bike, you know, whatever the racetrack dictated, then I could make the bike work to that. And so I was very fortunate when I went racing that was all just, you know, it came naturally to me. It wasn't something that, you know, that I had to learn or anything. It was just there. And I was very, very lucky on that.
But one of the things I wanted to ask you, apparently you're able to transfer a lot of the technology that you learned in your dirt biking career into the asphalt. And, you know, when you get to NASCAR or the guys that race the local tracks and stuff with their cars on the weekend, naturally they're changing springs, you know, and just tons of different items trying to get them to handle to go into turns and stuff. How much suspension adjustment do you make on a drag bike to get it to go down? Do you have to set up for each track, or can you pretty well dial it in and ride?
No, you can pretty much dial it in and ride. You're pretty much the major changes you'll make at a racetrack is clutch, you know, how much clutch you can put in it and where you want to keep it from spinning the tire. Like mine will go out about a second and a half, and it doesn't spin the tire, but it dances around. It's on the rear wheel, and to me it's just like riding my dirt track bike, you know. I mean, you know, I've had it on the rear wheel at over 100 miles an hour before, and that I like it. You know, I mean, it's fun to me. You know, so that, you know, from my dirt track days, when this bike does that, it's nothing that, you know, it's okay with me. I can handle it just fine. You know, and in dirt tracking, when you know, all the way around the racetrack, you feel the bike from your knees up to your crotch. You feel the bike at all times. You know what I mean? You have to if you're going to make it work good for you. And that just went perfect into drag racing. You know, because I can feel the bike starting to go right or left, and most of the time when I have to move the bike, I don't realize I did it till after I did it, because it's just a kind of a natural thing for me to do because I did it for so long. You know,
how much body shifting do you actually do on something like that? And if so, is it a major shift, or are these just little, you know, subtle little movements to counter it? Because when I think of it, I can look back to in my younger days when I drove front engine dragsters, and we used to sit back behind the motor, and when it would come out of the hole, you know, there was a tendency to drift to the right or left, but you could feel it. I understand
right.
what you're talking about when you say feel it. I would counter it without even thinking. And then
right.
if the race was done, I would say, well, that's what I did. That's, you know. But how does that relate, you know, as far as with yours? Are you able to actually, you know, move this thing, know exactly how much you want to move your body?
Oh, yeah.
Make this thing go. It's
yeah,
not a gamble.
Like
it's,
I said,
not too much, you know.
all them years of dirt tracking, you know, moving around on the bike and making it move and stuff like that without, you want to get your bike to handle as well as you can without having to make a major move. Because anytime you move the bike on the way down the quarter mile, you're scrubbing off speed. You know, I don't care if it's just a little thing, you're still scrubbing off speed. And so it most of the time it's just a light move. You know, this bike that I'm riding, it's pretty responsive. A lot of times I can move it with my arms or my knees even sometimes, you know,
So a knee movement will actually straighten you back up.
Yeah.
Huh.
And the thing that the trick to it is, and this is the dirt track stuff coming in again, is you want to catch it early. You don't want to behind it. You want to be ahead of it if you can, you know. And so I do it automatically, so I don't really think about it that much. I'll move it, and then I'll go, wow, you know, I just moved it, you know. And I remember what I did so that I'll know, you know, what I need to do on the bike to make it go straight or whatever I'm doing. And most of the time when it does go right or left, it's something that I did. It's usually not the bike.
And how fast are you going, Sonny, when you do that little knee movement?
Oh, probably at the eighth mile, around 140, 150 miles an hour, you know. And when I originally told everybody I was going to go ride these, I mean, everybody just, you know, you're going to get killed, and you can't do this, and you don't have the talent, and all this other stuff. And I'm amazed at how easy it is for me to ride it. I mean, I'm just having an absolute blast. You know, I tell Alan, I said, you're a magician. You just turned an old man into a kid. You know, because I'm just having the time of my life out there. I can't remember when I've had so much fun.
Yeah,
Jack and I need to get two Cushman motor scooters. We need to get out there, and we'll have a demolition derby. We'll show you guys how to destroy two bikes before we would get to the 60-foot mark.
With knee pads.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'd have steel knee pads. I'd look like something from out of the movie.
How old are you, Sonny? Sonny, how old are you?
I'm 71. I'll be 72 in November.
Yes, Sonny told me his goal was to be the oldest champion, or oldest rookie of the year, wasn't it,
yep.
Sonny?
Yep.
Oldest rookie of the year.
Yeah.
Because for all these years, he's tuned. And just now he has found this is his first year of actually riding on a drag bike at 71.
Rick missed that. Rick was out of the studio proper here for that little bit. Sonny, let me rewind that. Sonny, how old are you?
71 years old.
Huh?
Yep.
He's just a kid, let me tell you.
Just a kid.
Wow.
I have, you know, I think what it is I've always been really active my whole life. You know, I've always been around racing of some kind. I was crew chief on race cars and stuff like that. And then I got into, when I got into the motorcycling, that was kind of a deal where I had no intentions on being a motorcycle racer. And I went to some motorcycle races, and I thought, well, them guys are nuts, man. That's just crazy to watch those guys do that. And my buddies got me kind of involved in it. And we used to go out and go trail riding and stuff, and we'd ride these cross-country things and stuff. And I had a rigid frame Triumph, and my butt was higher in my head everywhere I went because there was no suspension in the back. And they actually, for the championship at that year, this was back, I want to say 1960, 59 or 60, we went to the championship here in Newburgh, Oregon, and they put me on a 500 Triumph of a buddy of mine, and it had suspension and everything, and I was riding in the 40-inch class, and they put me on a 30-incher, and I thought, oh, well, I'm going to just get beat, you know, and I went, because I had suspension and a nice soft seat, and I never rode anything like that, I went out and lapped everybody three times on this course that was about a mile around, and that started my race career right there.
Wow.
Well, I know that when we get to the banquet out in Vegas, if I have the opportunity, I don't know that I'll be up there on that stage or not. And I just hope that you're super successful, you know, out for the rest of the season. And I just want to be able to say just one time, ladies and gentlemen, at age 71, he is the rookie of the year.
Stevie, now that brings us back to the point we had talked about before. How old is Will?
I want to say early 30s.
I think he's more. He's in his 40s.
Sonny, Sonny, you're picking on the youngster, man.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I was really proud of him this weekend. You know, he stepped up and ran. It was the best race I think I've ever been in. It was just thrilling, and I went and congratulated him, and I still congratulate him. You know, I mean, I wanted to win, of course, and I'm, you know, not real happy about losing, but I was really proud of him and happy for him because he pulled that off. You know, I had him beat all the way down and started skidding the tire, and he just got by me by 9/1000ths of a second, you know, and it was just, it's going to be a race that I'll remember for a long, long, long time, you know. And,
you know, guys, 9/1000ths of a second comes down to, I believe, about 1 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah, something like that.
Tire tread.
I'm real close.
It's a bat's eyelash.
Yeah, I'm looking over and I'm going, wow, this is just a dead heat, you know.
Yeah.
And it was pretty thrilling. And I think out of the whole deal, Simplot, I've always liked him, you know, and stuff. And when I came along this year, I don't want to say you had an attitude, but it was kind of like that, you know. And we just... when we talked to each other, it was just like, yeah, no, okay, bye, and stuff like that. And I think after the race was over, I went over to his pits and told him, I congratulated him again, told him, I said, God, that was a hell of a race. I really admire you, and I'm glad I got to race against you like that. And I think I gained his respect just out of that race right there. He realizes that I'm a real racer and that I come to win, you know, and if you're gonna win the race, you got to go through me. You know, and that's what I want from my fellow racers is their respect.
Well, Sonny, one thing for sure that you are a prime example of, longevity in motorcycle racing is a hell of a lot longer than stock car racing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been fortunate. This deal here with this drag bike, I've wanted to do this ever since the first drag race I went to with Steve Dorn back in 1999. And it's the first time I saw a fuel bike run, I went, I want to ride one of those. And everybody goes, you can't ride one of those, you know. And I've just never had an opportunity. And then this Alan Sedlowski came along, and he talked to me for 3 years about this ride. And I was supposed to work for Steve Dorn this year, and there was just some circumstances that I decided that I couldn't go that route because not with Steve, it was somebody else. And so I told Alan, I said, okay, talk to me here. What are we going to do? And the guy just stepped up to the plate, and he just said, here, I'll give you this money, and you build the bike like you want to, and he gave me no restrictions and put me in a position that I never, ever, I mean, I wanted to do it, but I just knew in the back of my mind it would never happen, you know. And now we're even going to Top Fuel, which is even just, I'm just overwhelmed at the whole thing. I mean, it's just way cool, you know. I'm just so excited about it, you
That's
know.
That's very, very, very cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, Stevie, I think you picked two really good
outstanding
riders for this show tonight. No doubt about
it. It's so easy. I've got hundreds of them just like these guys I had this evening out there to talk.
Yeah. So did you you already talked to Will?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I talked to Will. In fact, yeah. He said that he wasn't going to let you get by out there in the West, but he did say he thought that you had a shot, you know, going east and stuff, that you were going to definitely be moving up.
Yeah, he said to say hello to you, and he definitely had a. You can listen to his interview. It'll be on Real Racing USA in our archives later tonight, and so you can come on sometime tomorrow to realracingusa.com to go to the All Harley Drag section, and your guys' this section of our show will be there, and you can listen to his interview.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because I really like Will, and like I said, that this, you know, you have in my career, I've had, you know, quite a few memorable races, you know, and this just joined them. You know, it was just fun. It was absolutely fun to race him, and it was and it just turned out awesome, you know, and I was, you know, like I said, I was very proud of him because, you know, I ran a 7:49 in qualifying on Saturday. And he stepped up and tuned his bike up and ran a 7:43 in the final. I ran a 7:47. So we both ran faster in the final than I qualified on Saturday, you know. And I think that's a testament of, you know, we're competitors. You know, we both knew that we had to do something or we were going to get beat, and we did it.
All right. Yeah. Pretty cool, Steve.
Absolutely. These guys are simply the best.
All right.
I think for age 71, I can truthfully say it. That Sonny Burris drives like he's 17.
All right, Sonny, we really, really appreciate you spending some time with us, and we'll be keeping up with you on the All Harley Drag Racing website and also on realracingusa.com and checking up on this battle between yourself and the youngster, Will Simpluck.
The youngster. He'll like that.
There you go. All right.
Okay. Sonny, thanks again, my friend.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye.
All right, Stevie. Very cool, man. Two good ones.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was definitely fun tonight. Of course, it's always fun when we're going drag racing.
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess we'll get with you here in the next few days and maybe either this coming week or maybe the week after. We're going to move this show to Wednesday night and really extend it a little bit.
Well, I think that's going to be exciting. Now, this coming weekend, I'm headed up to Canada as I have a race for the IHRA. But then I'll be coming back, and I will be in Richmond announcing for the S&S Cycle Jim McClure Nationals. And they're going to have one little race in between that I think is really kind of nice. It shows you how about the Harley guys and where their heart's at. It's a one-day race, and it's going to be up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina at Farmington Dragway. And they're doing it for the March of Dimes.
All right.
Race to save babies.
Super cool deal. All right, Stevie. We will talk to you around the corner, man.
Absolutely.
All right.
Take care, my friend.
All right.
All right. Good night, Stevie.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye.
Well, Rick.